This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back. Chucky's coming to you live from D.C. on 106.7 The Fan. You can watch us on NBC Sports Washington, and we are presented by EMP 180 Weight Loss, the standard for weight loss in the D.C. area. Because it works, visit EMP180.com and get empowered. I'm John Paul Flame, joined by Jason Bishop,
yep,
Johnny Cakes Auville, and Eric Bickle. That is the foursome. We've been talking about the Wizards and what they should do moving forward now that it's official that John Wall is going to be out for another year now with the ruptured Achilles. Scott Brooks, our head coach, will join us at 9. But joining us right now to give us a little insight on the NBA trade deadline and more, it's Sekou Smith from NBA TV and NBA.com. You can see Sekou on NBA TV's live trade deadline coverage tonight at 8 p.m., tomorrow from 1 to 5 p.m. Good morning, Sekou.
Morning, guys. How you doing?
What's up, man?
We've been kind of kicking it around about the John Wall injury. Of course, we're here in D.C., and you know, it seems like the John Wall era, as we know it, will be over. And just a couple years ago, it's amazing, you're in game 7 of the second round, just a game away from making it to the Eastern Conference Finals. John Wall is playing, you know, at a fantastic level, ironically against Isaiah Thomas, who's also not playing. But things change quickly in the NBA.
Yeah, man. Real life comes at you quickly in a league where, you know, physically you have to be at your best to be your best. And you know, it's a horrible thing for John Wall, obviously, to suffer this injury, but it's a reminder of just how fleeting, you know, this thing can be. You guys mentioned it. 1 minute you're on the cusp of the conference finals, and the next year a franchise is spiraling, you know, in the wrong direction, trying to figure out how to recover.
Right. I mean, it's understood around the league, right, that it's over. It's not just us being overly dramatic. I mean, by the end of this year, he'll have missed 91 games in the last 2 years. He should miss all of next season. And then even when he comes back, he'll be 30. He's not going to be the same player. No one ever is coming back from an Achilles. I mean, it's over.
Yes. It's much like what happened to Derrick Rose in Chicago. So what John Wall is on the other side of all this remains to be seen. But he will not be the John Wall he was before this latest injury.
Right.
His value will be different, not only because physically he'll be older and he'll be damaged goods, if you will. And I don't mean that, you know, in the sterile way that it maybe sounds, but he won't be the same frisky young player he was early in his career. He's going to have to be a reconstituted, you know, version of himself. And by virtue of that large contract, he's going to have a completely different look than he did when he was on his ascent. He's going to be on the other side physically, emotionally, and in every other way of what was once a really bright NBA career.
So, Sekou, how do the Wizards go forward with a $37 million hole in their roster when the Supermax kicks in next season, when, you know, that money's still accounted for, but you don't get any production out of it with Wall sidelined?
Yeah, well, look, I mean, the first thing you have to do is decide what happens with Bradley Beal and whether or not he's the guy you lean on and try and piece together some sort of, you know, playoff caliber, or at least ambitiously some playoff caliber team around, or do you scrap whatever plans you have now and start selling pieces. And the toughest part for the Wizards is going to be convincing Bradley Beal to stick around to take these lumps
right
during the physical prime of his career.
Right.
I mean, if you're Bradley Beal and you're watching guys your age around the league push and force their way into winning situations, and think about all the guys who have demanded trades, gotten traded, and are now in playoff situations. Kawhi Leonard, Paul George, Kyrie Irving, Jimmy Butler. I mean, these are the guys who are basically your contemporaries if you're Bradley Beal. Do you want to be in a situation that's seen as a dead end, or do you want to be somewhere where you're allowed to compete at a playoff level? So it's going to be a tough decision down the road for Bradley Beal and some of those other young guys on that Wizards roster. Do they want to stick around and endure what's to come the next year, year and a half?
Well, that's the question. The question is, does Ernie Grunfeld and Ted Leonsis have the stones to do that? Do they have the stone to kind of reset everything and become the Sixers of 6-7 years ago and have 3 or 4 straight years of less than 20 wins? I'm not sure that they can do that or would be willing to do it. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I mean, that's the toughest thing in sports is to tear down something and try and rebuild it and live through that construction zone. I mean, because you lose fans who lose faith in you as an organization. And I'm sure your confidence wavers as an organization during a time like that. But the Wizards are in this position based on the decisions they made. And nobody is – listen, I'm not here to knock John Wall for taking a Supermax contract. He'd be a nut.
Of course, he had to.
To not have taken that deal.
Yeah.
He had to.
Of course.
He can't foresee what comes down the road. He can't foresee the injuries that are – guys, they're a part of the game. Just, you know, that's just a part of sport. Some careers get tangled up in injury, some don't. So, yeah, it becomes an organizational thing. What are you willing to endure to get to the other side of this, and how long will it take? And, yes, those are decisions for Ted Leonsis and decisions that have to be made at the very top.
And his Supermax deal, it made sense at the time because coming off that Celtics series, there was talk that he was going to be an MVP-type candidate, you know, in the next season.
Year after year.
And it just didn't happen because of injuries and things like that. Just one last question, Wizards related, before we start talking about some of the trade deadline moves that have happened and what might happen here. As we're talking to Sekou Smith from NBA TV, have teams actually been sniffing around wondering about Bradley Beal's availability and Otto Porter?
Absolutely. It would be negligent on the part of the rest of the league if they didn't. I mean, it's a cutthroat business, the NBA, just like any other professional sport. And if you don't pounce on a situation when it presents itself, you're crazy. If I'm prime example, if I'm the Los Angeles Lakers and I'm trying to clear the decks and you know, piece together a team around LeBron James, why would I not call the Wizards and at least inquire about Bradley Beal? You know, that's just doing your due diligence if you're some of these other franchises. We all know that Otto Porter's name has come up numerous times in terms of teams interested in poking around to see if he would be available. It's not as if the Wizards don't have some talented, quality players. They just don't have a group based on the health and chemistry we've seen that's going to allow them as a group to prosper and become what we thought they may have been a couple years ago.
You know, they obviously still have talent. And I'd say, even with the injuries, they're underperforming, specifically defensively. They're now 29th in the league on defense and points allowed. How do you explain that? They simply don't respond. Now, this has been something that's plagued this franchise for decades, but this is as bad as it's ever been. They're not getting better. They're actually getting worse. Is this something that can be fixed? Because I think they're athletic enough to play defense. They just don't want to.
You have skipped down the question list for the stuff you have for Scott Brooks, I'm sure.
I ask him every week.
I mean, you know what? In this league, defense is a choice. And you look around at talent, physically talented groups that, for whatever reason, cannot find a real mark defensively. And guys, I think it's as much about personnel as it is about commitment. And you think about a team like Utah, they got the personnel to play a certain way defensively and a commitment from their head coach in Quinn Snyder, who demands that if you're going to play for him, if you're going to be a part of that organization, be a part of that team, you're going to give effort and play at a certain level defensively. I think you see the same thing in Oklahoma City and some other places where there's a combination of the personnel and the commitment being married, you know, in terms of how you're going to operate. If you don't have that, if you got a coach espousing it, but players who haven't committed to it, you have what we see with the Wizards. It's just there's something that's not connected, you know, between those two things that allows you to play at a high enough level defensively.
All right, so we want to get your prediction on Anthony Davis, get your thoughts on him and a couple other players. But before we do that, the Sixers and the Clippers consummated a deal sometime late last night, pretty big one. The Clippers will send Tobias Harris and a couple other players over to the Sixers in return for some younger players and some picks. So obviously the Sixers are all in. They probably feel like they, you know, even though they're in the fifth spot in the East, they can win this thing. You add a guy who's averaging 21 a game, who's shooting, you know, close to 50%, borderline all-star. They basically have an all-star team now, Sekou. They're starting five. So talk about that move that Elton Brand made for the Sixers.
Very aggressive. I think very impressive work from Elton Brand, a guy who nobody was talking about as a potential mover and shaker in this league at this stage. I mean, just came out of nowhere as the GM of the Sixers to me. And it's put together a couple of impressive, you know, buying two guys out, you know, buying two guys in a contract year in Jimmy Butler and Tobias Harris is unheard of. Put them together with Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid and J.J. Redick, you talk about formidable. Just the size, length, and athleticism, it's a direct response to what I'm sure Elton Brand has seen in Milwaukee, Toronto, and Boston. He knows that in order to compete, they've got to be better than what they were at those spots. But I think even more importantly, just from a league-wide perspective, what Jerry West and the Clippers are doing, and don't ever underestimate Jerry West's influence on a situation. They are playing chess while the rest of these teams that are hunting free agents this summer are playing checkers. He's setting the Clippers up to be a real player come July 1st. They're going to have the assets and the flexibility to basically do whatever they want. And that's very important for a Clippers team that has maintained their competitiveness in the wake of Chris Paul, Blake Griffin, and DeAndre Jordan departing. Doc Rivers sticking around, doing one of his better coaching jobs. And now you're talking about being prepared to execute whatever plans you have in free agency this summer. Very impressive work from the Clippers, but it's certainly a flag planting by the Sixers that we're going all in this season right now trying to win the East.
All right, so let's get your prediction on Anthony Davis. Obviously, the Lakers want him. Every time the Lakers put a package together, I guess the Pelicans are asking for more, and that's pissing them off. Do you think that this deal still gets done before the trade deadline, or do the Pelicans wait until next year?
I've never thought it would get done, to be honest with you. In all my years covering the NBA, the trade rumors that are as loud and crazy as Anthony Davis wanting out of New Orleans and basically telegraphing that he wants to be with the Lakers, I mean, those deals rarely happen. It's always the stuff you don't see coming, the Porzingis to the Mavericks. You know, those sorts of things that kind of get done while we're focusing our attention elsewhere. I don't think Dell Demps could walk the city streets of New Orleans if he trades Anthony Davis tomorrow. There was no way, as an organization, you move him on someone else's timetable. Not on Anthony Davis's, not on Magic's and the Lakers or anyone else's. You hold on to Anthony Davis until the summer when you can, you know, operate from a position of power if you're the New Orleans Pelicans.
So you don't think it happens?
No, absolutely not. I'll be shocked if it gets done tomorrow.
All right, Sekou Smith, thanks a lot for joining us. Of course, you can watch him on NBA TV's live trade deadline coverage tonight at 8 p.m. Eastern and tomorrow from 1 to 5 p.m. Thanks a lot for joining us, pal.
Thank you, buddy.
Thanks, guys.
Yep.
Appreciate it.
That's Sekou Smith. Remember, Scott Brooks, head coach of the Wizards, will join us at 9. But coming up next, we will pivot back to the Super Bowl. Ian O'Connor, senior writer at ESPN, has got four books out, including Belichick. We'll talk about the Patriots winning yet another Super Bowl.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome back. Junkies coming to you live from D.C. on 106.7 The Fan. You can watch us on NBC Sports Washington. 9 o'clock, Scott Brooks, head coach of the Wizards, will join us. Should be an interesting interview given the fact that John Wall ruptures his Achilles, trade deadline happening, and the Wizards, of course, struggling.
I mean, if I were Scott Brooks, honestly, I'd be pouring whiskey into my coffee this morning.
Oh, yeah.
I just would. I would go down to the team breakfast, and I'd have a mini stuffed in my pocket, and I'd pour a big cup of Joe. And then I'd have a nice shot of whiskey in there to get me started for the day.
All right, but right now we're going to talk about a city or a town that has been kicking ass, and that's New England.
The complete
another
opposite.
Championship. I saw a kid had a sign 4 months old. He's already been in two parades.
I mean, it's crazy.
Ian O'Connor joins a senior writer at ESPN. He's got four books out, including one on Bill Belichick titled Belichick. What's up, Ian?
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Yeah, we often kind of just envy the plight of New England sports, you know, Boston sports radio, because we're here in D.C. and we did get a Stanley Cup.
Yep.
Finally.
Yep.
but it just seems to be cursed over 20 years with the Redskins and with the Wizards and just a lot of struggles here. The Nats make the playoffs,
just think about
but they
what's
never
happened
get
in the last
the
few months here in D.C. Alex Smith snaps his leg. And then in the next game, Colt McCoy goes out and snaps his leg. The Nationals offer Bryce Harper
$300 million,
he turns it down. And John Wall not only has a banged up heel, now he snaps his Achilles and he's out for another year.
Well, even before that, Ian, if you want to go back to Bryce Harper 2 years ago in a game in August, he's running down first baseline, slips on first base bag, and could have been a horrific injury. Ends up he missed some games. They go to the playoffs, but he wasn't the same. So you had Harper get hurt there. You had Alex Smith and Colt McCoy get hurt this year, and now John Wall.
We're doing a lot of woe is me, aren't we?
Maybe Bryce Harper should have taken that deal.
Right, exactly.
The way things are playing out. But when I grew up, I'm 54, I was a Dallas Cowboys fan in northern New Jersey, and the Redskins, and I remember the Bullets when they were good, and I remember when Washington was in a pretty good state in terms of sports. Now, you look, I live in the New York area, and I've seen a lot of bad sports in recent years in New York. So it's interesting because in Boston, people talk about them having a bit of an inferiority complex relative to New York. But Boston sports have dominated the New York sports teams over the years. And, yeah, what's gone on up there has been rather remarkable.
All right, so you have a book, Belichick, and we can get into this. I mean, we've talked about it. I mean, for the team this year, which didn't seem as talented as some of the Patriots teams in the past, to get through just the playoff run, San Diego, Kansas City, and then to do what they did in the Super Bowl, it did just show his genius. I felt like he was a step ahead of every coach along the way.
He was. Although, if you looked at them over the course of the season, as I did closely because I had this book out, they did not look like a Super Bowl team at all for much of the season. They just got hot and healthy at the right time, and they caught a couple of breaks. Their last two games were at home against the Jets and Bills. Houston losing at Philly gave them the second seed and the bye, which they needed. They needed that break. They also got a little bit of a break when San Diego beat Baltimore. I think to see the Chargers, have the Chargers go back and forth across the country twice to play 10 a.m. playoff games on their body clocks, I think that result was pretty inevitable. And then Andy Reid has a tough time winning. He's a very, very good coach. He deserves a title. He just has a tough time winning these big games, particularly against Bill. And if D4 doesn't line up off sides, maybe the Chiefs are the champions today. But he did, and they're not. And Belichick versus McVay, surprisingly, turned out to be a pretty big mismatch.
Huh. Do you have any sense, I don't know if Bill would give you this kind of insight, into where this championship ranks for him, considering so many people were counting him out?
Well, I think it's his second-best coaching job. I still think 2001 sort of stands alone. It was a charm season, and what people forget is he had to win an AFC title game at Pittsburgh with Drew Bledsoe, who he had basically marginalized and hadn't played in a while after deciding to go with Brady when Bledsoe came back from his injury that year. To beat the Rams when you were down, you were an underdog by 2 touchdowns to win that game against people thought the Rams were going to be the dynasty. They had won 2 years earlier, the greatest show on turf. I still think that's number one. I would put this at 2. Of course, part of the reason this is his second-best coaching job is because Bill as a GM didn't seem he did a great job putting that roster together. They had no playmakers. They couldn't get to the quarterback. For that team to win a championship, the way they looked for much of the season was pretty stunning. And it does speak to a guy at age 66 who's still very much at the top of his game.
I don't think I've ever heard Belichick as effusive with praise as I did when I heard him talking about Sean McVay leading up to the Super Bowl. Is there some sort of backstory between the two of them, or does he just really respect what he's done at such a young age so far in the NFL in the 2 years in L.A.?
Well, part of it is Bill's pretty close to Sean's grandfather, John, who used to coach the Giants and was an executive with the Niners, a very successful one, not a successful head coach. So it's funny that here's Bill coaching against a man half his age, and he's buddies with his grandfather. And it's just amazing, like, his longevity, which is why I think he's the greatest coach of all time. I went to the high school in New Jersey where Vince Lombardi coached, St. Cecilia's in Englewood, so it's hard for me to put somebody above Lombardi. But unfortunately and tragically, he died young. And you look at Bill's body of work, he's been in the league since 1975. It's just it's amazing how long he is. I still think he's got another 4 or 5 years left in him. He's a very young 66. But McVay is a brilliant young coach. And what happens in many of these big games is it does seem, outside of Tom Coughlin, who was never intimidated by Belichick, it does seem like coaches do strange things, particularly in the fourth quarters of these Super Bowls and big games against Belichick. It's like the specter of him on that other sideline does seem to have an impact on the opposing coach.
And next year, I mean, the division's going to suck again, right?
Right.
So next year, even though, you know, Brady will be 42 or whatever he's going to be, and Belichick will be on his almost 67, they're still the favorite. They're going to win the division. And, you know, if they get a home field or if they get a bye, then you know, they're probably going to be right back in the Super Bowl again. I'm wondering if New England fans are prepared for, and it's inevitable, prepared for the day when they're going to be 4-12, when Belichick retires and Brady goes. And I don't know. I mean, it happens to every team.
No question. And how would you like to be Josh McDaniels or whoever ends up replacing Bill to deal with that and not to have Brady there, assuming that Bill coaches another 4 years or so? I had a phone conversation with Brady in the spring of 2017 after he won his 5th championship, where I asked him, hey, if you're playing at a high level at age 45, is it possible that you'll play till 46, 47, 48? And he said, yes. So this is a total nightmare for the AFC East. It never ends. It right. never ends. Sam Darnold, if you're a Jets fan, the Jets have not been to the Super Bowl since man stepped on the moon, right? So finally they get a franchise quarterback. That's true. They won their last championship, 6 months before Neil Armstrong landed
it's
on the moon?
Hilarious.
And so they got Sam Darnold now. They're waiting for that window to open for Brady and Belichick to finally go away. And Darnold's going to be about 30 before that happens. So it's going to eat into his time as well. And I think the biggest thing in the AFC East over the years in Brady's time, no team has developed a franchise quarterback. Chad Pennington might have been that guy, but he got hurt.
Right.
And so Brady has gone pretty much uncontested for about 17 years.
Is there any sense from Bill that he wants to outlast Tom to prove he can do it without him?
Well, I had in my book that he did tell associates some years ago, not too long ago, that he was looking forward to the day of trying to win a championship without Brady. Nothing against Tom. Mm-hmm. He certainly understands what Brady has meant to his legacy. But to prove he could do it, right? Because if you look at his record without Brady, it's not good.
That would make sense to me.
Yeah, and that, yeah, it's a human, natural human feeling, I would think. But I think he might be resigned to the fact he's not going to get that chance. Brady is going to play another few seasons at least. And Bill is going to be 67 in the spring. So I don't know if that's going to happen. I think there's one alternate plausible scenario here where Bill, after he wins maybe one more ring, going upstairs, be the overlord of football operations, hand it off to McDaniels. He might feel like McDaniels deserves a second chance after his failure in Denver, like Bill got a second chance after his failure in Cleveland. McDaniels and Brady have a very close relationship. I could see it being possible for Bill to go upstairs and for the final 2 years of Brady handing it off to McDaniels.
Huh. That'd be interesting.
By the way, what's interesting, both of those guys screwed over teams, right? Belichick screwed over the Jets being there for one day, and McDaniels, I mean, I don't know that, you know, it worked out for the Colts, but he was with the Colts for a day, or I can't even remember how it played out there.
Yeah, no, you're right. They did. It's a similar path. Maybe the greatness we'll see with McDaniels. And the New York Jets actually hired Belichick as head coach twice, and he never coached the game for them. Because if you recall, after Parcells and Belichick got to the Super Bowl with the Patriots and lost to Green Bay, Parcells tried to go to the Jets right away, but was under contract. Kraft wouldn't let him out of it. So what the Jets did was they played a shell game. They hired Belichick as the head coach and Parcells as a consultant. The league realized it was a scam, and they had a hearing, and finally Parcells was freed from his contract. And I believe Belichick was the head coach. I have it in my book. I'm trying to remember. I think it was 6 days. Mm-hmm. And then Parcells took over, and he went back to being the D.C. So he was actually hired two separate times as head coach by the Jets and never actually worked a game for them.
Mm. Right. Wow.
That hurts.
Yeah.
It really does. But I don't know. I mean, Brady obviously is still very good, but
he showed
some signs this year of aging. Look, if D. Ford, like you said, Ian, if D. Ford doesn't line up off sides, he throws a pick there, and he throws three interceptions in that game, right?
Correct.
And
he didn't
play great in the Super Bowl. He played better than Goff, but it wasn't great. He missed a lot of throws. So you saw some signs of aging. And I don't know. I just think that three or four more years, I think, is crazy. Maybe one or two.
But guys have done it. Like, think about guys that played. Like, Maureen Moon played late. Vinny Testaverde played late.
I understand that, but they weren't great at those ages.
Okay.
Now, Brady's better
than
those
guys. But he might be good enough.
Yeah, we'll see.
Right?
That's it. I agree with what you said. I do think there were signs of erosion this year. And can he still be one of the best five or six or seven quarterbacks in the NFL next year? I think the answer to that question is yes. He did beat Mahomes twice. The two most talented quarterbacks in the league, he's 3-0 against this year. 2-0 against Mahomes, 1-0 against Aaron Rodgers. So if he could still do that, I think he plays on. But you're right. I do think there were some signs of the aging process. We'll see how it plays out next year.
Does Tom acknowledge that at all? Did he say, you know what, yeah, this was a tougher year for me?
He did not. I did not hear him say those words. In fact, I think I've heard him say that he's learned from this year. He thinks he can get better next year. And he has not, as far as, I'm not up there every day, so right. I don't think he's made that public concession. And that's why he's the greatest football player who's ever lived, because he wouldn't make a public concession like that, just like Tiger Woods or Michael Jordan wouldn't do the same thing.
Are the Patriots execs privately concerned that this might, that they're closer, you know, than, you know, maybe next year might be it, that he doesn't have 4 years left?
I think they're going to give him a new contract. Understand that Robert Kraft and Brady are really close. They're much closer than Brady and Belichick. The relationship is entirely different. Mm-hmm. And Kraft is basically the one who said to Bill, Tom is going to retire a Patriot no matter what age that is, so you do what you have to do. And Belichick took that as a mandate to trade Garoppolo, right? So I don't think they're concerned he's going to fall off the cliff next year. And then they realize it's coming at some point, and they have to develop another quarterback with Garoppolo no longer in the organization. They realize Hoyer's not the answer. But, no, I think they believe Brady will play at a high level next year, and I think he's going to get a contract extension and probably this offseason. So
right.
I don't think the concern is about next year. I think there's a reality that within 2 or 3 years they have to be ready for it.
Yeah. Right. I could see them drafting a quarterback this year, you know, to kind of groom him for another 2 years.
Agreed.
Yep.
Yeah, that could happen.
And they could draft Will Greer.
Was he gracious with Garoppolo or no?
I think yes and no. I think that, listen, Brady is, in my career in sports writing, I've covered like three serial killers, Tiger, Jordan, and Brady, and then there's everybody else after that.
Mm-hmm.
So, listen, it's not his job to teach someone how to take his job. So he was a pretty good teammate. But there were limits. In practice, he wasn't going out of his way to help Garoppolo. And he was very worried back in 2014. So we're talking, what, 4 years ago, almost 5 years ago. In that early in that season, he looked really bad at Kansas City that Monday night game. They were 2-2. Garoppolo, he gets benched. Garoppolo comes in and leads them right down the field for a touchdown. I know he told friends he was worried that Belichick was going to replace him in 2014.
Crazy.
So ever since they drafted that kid, he's been sweating it. And he outlasted him. That wasn't in the Belichick software for Brady to outlast Garoppolo, but he did. It's actually one of his greatest achievements, beyond the six rings, that he beat the Belichick system, which runs people out of there, no matter how decorated you are. And, again, that wasn't in the computer programming. And he beat that system, and it's one of his greatest achievements.
Right now, today, who's Belichick's closest confidant?
In that organization, well, you have Ernie Adams is certainly right there. He's the Wizard of Oz, and David Halberstam, the late, great Halberstam, described Ernie Adams in his book as Belichick's Belichick, which I think was the perfect description of Ernie Adams and who he is. And his only flaw, and I have this in the book, is that he occasionally falls asleep in meetings. Other than that, he's Belichick's genius. He's his go-to guy when it comes to breaking down an opponent in film, and he was right in the middle of Spygate, of course, and so I would say Adams is the guy. He's been with him forever. They were prep school classmates, who's really his closest confidant.
Gotcha.
And who doesn't fall asleep in meetings? Meetings are boring. That's
and by the way, Ian, if you did write a book about an actual serial killer like Richard Ramirez, I would read that.
Absolutely.
I would definitely read that.
Away from that. I wouldn't want to tick off a serial killer.
Well, he's dead, so.
Yeah. They're not as fun. Have you had an opportunity to see Bill, you know, like where he lets his guard down? You know, we hear all these stories that he's so different than his public persona, and I get that. I know he's kind of doing an act, doing a shtick, but you know, you being part of the media, have you seen him let his guard down?
Occasionally, during Super Bowl week particularly. Now, he didn't cooperate with this book. I talked to 350-plus people, and a lot of them told me stories, humanizing anecdotes, which I wanted to be at the core of this book. But even during Super Bowl week in Atlanta, there was a reporter asked him if he planned on writing his own book. And he started saying, well, I'm just focusing on the Rams. And then he stopped and he looked at the guy and he said, would you buy one? And the room cracked up. And he laughed and the guy laughed. And the guy said, yes, I would. And he said, good. And so occasionally, particularly during Super Bowl week, he'll crack open that window on his soul that he hides for public consumption. And he did it there.
Mm-hmm. Great stuff, Ian.
That's a small crack. That's not much.
He's got three New York Times bestsellers, including Belichick.
Go ahead.
Yo, I was going to say, he doesn't open that window very often, and he only does it about 2 inches.
Yeah.
But in private, his friends swear it's Jekyll and Hyde, and he could be a very warm and engaging guy that most of America would have a hard time believing that figure exists, but they swear it does.
Yeah. All right.
Wow, what an enigma. All right, thank you. Thank you, Ian. Really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Yep.
Okay.
Take care.
See you, man.
Man, I don't get that shtick. I don't know why you have to be
that
guarded.
I know that AWOD doesn't get what Jekyll and Hyde means. I know he doesn't get that reference.
Ask him.
Yeah. He should mention.
Well, does he even know what it means, though? He doesn't have to know the derivation.
Has to know what it means.
Do you know what it means in context?
Can you use it in a sentence?
Well, no, you should just know.
Jekyll and Hyde.
Yeah, Bill Belichick has a very Jekyll and Hyde personality.
What does that mean?
Used in a sentence.
It's up and down?
It's more. Be more specific.
More specific.
Sometimes he's really talkative. Sometimes he's very quiet. He's Jekyll and Hyde.
Well, that's a little different.
Just because you use it confidently doesn't mean he doesn't really know.
He has no idea. It's Dr. Jekyll
and Mr. Hyde.
Yes. Yeah. I remember head coach of the Wizards, Scott Brooks, on the John Wall injury and more coming up at 9 o'clock on the Junkies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, reminder, you can join Cakes and Greater Fort Lauderdale for a Rock the Red pregame party at Clyde's Gallery Place this Saturday. Starts at 5. Hang out with Cakesy. After for a chance to win a trip to Fort Lauderdale to see your team take on Florida, get more details at thefandc.com.
And if you can't wait,
events.
If you can't wait till Saturday to hang out with your boy Flakes, you can do it tonight at MGM National Harbor. It is the first Wednesday of the month. That means the Cakes Classic goes down at 7 p.m.
Hit the poker room.
In the poker room. We'd love
play
to see you
cards.
There. $300 buy-in. You knock your boy out. $300. You get your buy back. Back.
Yeah. And then if you
deal.
Get bounced, you'll go right to the cash game.
That is correct. Remember, all these things are correct. Yes.
Scott Brooks, head coach of the Wizards, will join us at the top of the hour. You don't want to miss Coach Brooks at 9 a.m. as we talk about the Wizards and John Wall and the trade deadline. Wanted to shift gears. Saw this story a few days ago. All of us at one point were in the crypto game.
I'm still in the
crypto game.
Half of you still are.
I still am.
Still crypto pot committed.
Yes.
Now the pot has gotten smaller. The pot has dwindled.
Yeah.
But I'm pot committed.
I think I lost. I only had like a $5,000 investment and I lost about $2,200 of it.
Right.
Which to me was almost a win compared to like some
I lost
people.
$5,000.
Yeah.
I think I'm about $6,500.
And I get bitter about it.
How about this story, though, about $180 million, or $137 million, I should say, in cryptocurrencies has been frozen in the user accounts of Canadian digital platform Quadriga after the founder, the only person with the password to gain access, died.
That's one thing about the crypto game.
Yeah.
Like if
it's impossible to get it.
If you don't have the password,
right.
It's comical.
You just can't get it.
Yeah.
Like, it's
got
to
no,
go in the
there's
wallet.
No way,
or
there's no way.
Coinbase.
It's a crazy story.
You can't just be like, oh, did you forget your password? We'll send it right over to you.
Can't do
it's
it.
It's not like that.
No, it's done.
So, it's not like you forget your Yahoo password.
So he was different. He was running it. Gerald Cotton, 30 years old,
Jesus.
Died from complications of Crohn's disease.
Ooh, that's
while volunteering at an orphanage in India.
Oh. Wow, that's a good dude right there. Think about that. Volunteering at an orphanage, not a block down from where he lived, in India.
So right. Quadriga has 363,000 registered users and owes a total of $250 million to 115,000 affected users. They say despite repeated and diligent searches, they haven't been able to find the password.
Just have to say I'm broke.
Yeah, well,
you're kidding
those
me.
Those people are all felted.
How is that possible?
I don't completely understand
so
the story.
So what happens to them?
I have my passwords hidden in a secret place. Did you have that? I printed them out, and I have them hidden.
You're going to laugh. I wrote them down.
I don't even know where mine are. Here's how wacky this is.
I just put it on my phone.
I had a guy that we know, that we all kind of know, Mikey, tell me to buy a hard crypto wallet
right.
to transfer it off of Coinbase.
Right.
That crypto wallet is sitting in my office, still in its box. Haven't used it.
So the hard crypto wallet to put your passwords in it?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And it's actually
to offload the crypto off of the computer.
So it's like a USB.
So yeah, it's like a USB. You plug in, you put a billion passwords in, then I would theoretically like take it to my bank and put it in a safe deposit box
right.
with the password in case I were to dock off
right.
so that my wife could get the crypto that's worth about 7% of what it is when I first bought it.
Right, but you're still up, aren't you?
Well,
I'm still up, yes.
Slightly.
For now.
It's trending
for the time being.
Horribly.
Well, didn't you
that 2 years ago.
Didn't you guys have like 6, 7, 8 grand in your JSS Junkie Sports Service account still sitting there?
I think it was less than 2,000.
I don't think it was that much.
No, I think it was more than 2,000, but it wasn't 8.
If it was 8, you should hunt it down like 5 minutes ago and find it. And chop it.
Well, that money's gone and the Bodog money.
Even if it was 3, we can't ever get it.
Can't get it.
Junkie Sports Service.
Inaccessible. It's
we
gone.
We probably gave so many losers on that sports
so
service.
Many.
I think we were hot for a while.
I stopped because I felt guilty for giving so many losers.
People were paying us for our plays.
I can't believe that.
You think the company will allow that now?
No, absolutely not.
In the future, they might. Quadriga apparently allowed the trading of Bitcoin, Litecoin, Ethereum.
Right.
And just this
well, how
guy
much did he have?
Off.
He had millions?
It says about $137 million frozen in user accounts.
He had $137 million. How did the guy have $137 million? What did he do?
He was the founder. He was the founder.
Ago.
So all these people bought in, and they can't get their money because the founder died.
So it wasn't his.
Oh, my
it
God.
It wasn't his yeah. money. It was
right.
everyone else's money.
It's everyone
just
else's money.
I mean, I don't fully understand it. He's controlling the crypto.
Well,
it's your money. You paid for it.
forward.
And there's someone else that works for the company that can.
I would imagine that they'll figure out the password.
I don't
password.
Know if there's any
the password. Have they tried password yet? Sometimes.
Have they tried 1234?
That's a good one. The bigger takeaway. The biggest takeaway.
With a capital P.
In this whole story is that he was volunteering at an orphanage in India.
Could he hire,
when he died.
Could he hire a hacker and have a hacker try to get
dead.
His password?
Yeah, somebody
well,
could,
his,
I guess.
His family. Yeah, hire a hacker to hack his password.
Yeah, I'd hire some like North Korean dog or Russian dog to go in there and get that money.
Get some sort of bot machine or whatever to go through all the possibilities. There's got to be a way.
Yeah,
say
he was the only guy with the password.
Hilarious.
Those people are so salty.
So the crypto boss died with $137 million locked up.
Well, it's probably not worth $137 million now. It's probably worth about $3
million. Well, that story just came out a couple days
ago.
That story just came out a couple days
ago. Okay, so maybe it is worth that amount.
Yeah. Not an old story.
Yeah, you're bitter. So it's just a dead investment. You're not going to get the money back.
I haven't checked good old Buttcoin in a while. Where is it at now?
3,300.
33, yeah. It's 3,326 or something.
Believe me, it's going south.
I bought it at 18,000.
I bought it at 15. Thought it was a rocket ship up.
Yeah.
EB kept talking about the guy who's going to eat his own dong.
Yeah. He's going to have to.
Well, remember when that's
I hope he's hungry.
Remember that's all anybody talked about was Bitcoin?
The summer of Bitcoin. I remember it well. Yeah. Yes.
Was that two summers ago?
Yes.
Summer of 17, right?
Yeah, it wasn't this past summer.
It was 17. That's all anybody talked about.
Right? Well, because it was just skyrocketing.
I know. Yeah. And now no one talks about
it. It's dead. It's a dead platform.
Well, that's just,
for now.
For mass, whatever.
I'm on my Coinbase account. At the top, there's a little button that says, invite friends, earn $10. What? I'm going to tell my friends to invest in cryptocurrency in 2019? That's a terrible idea.
Crypto was going to take over.
Yeah, who knew?
Cash is still king.
I don't even know how to get into my Coinbase account.
Yeah,
I think I still have like 30 coins.
You know what's king now? PayPal and Venmo. Cash is no longer king. Cash is losing.
Well, yeah, Tampa, I believe, their stadium is going
cash-free. Correct.
You know, I was reading a profile, I don't know where it was, on Jack Dorsey, one of the co-founders of Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
So he started Twitter, right?
Yes.
And then he left it for a few years for whatever reason. And then they brought him back. In that meantime, when he left, he came up with that company, I think it's called Square.
Of course, your boy's an investor here.
It does the mobile. So anytime like you go somewhere and they swipe your card or whatever, that's his company. So he's created like $2 billion companies.
He's a bona fide genius.
Yeah, and the guy's just like a punk rock like loser.
But he's not a loser.
He's a seer. He's a seer.
He's a life winner.
He came up with two silly ideas.
Yeah. All right, coming up next. We've talked a lot about the Wizards and John Wall and the future of the franchise. We will talk to their head coach, Scott Brooks, next on the Junkies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.